I want you to get to see something of the one whom we're trusting, the one whom God sent to the earth over 1900 years ago. What for? You see, he came to save men and women, that's right. But he also came to reveal to us the very heart of God. I again repeat what I've been saying. Men have a misconception of the character of God and the heart of God. We have some who look upon that God is love. And they forget he's righteous. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And everything he does must be according to his righteous character. Then we have others who see his majesty and his glory and his omnipotence, but fail to realize something of his tenderness, of his compassion, of his love for men and women. I find this in Christians. I find some who can sit down and talk to you about the majesty of God, the sovereignty of God, etc., and know so little in their own lives of the compassion and tenderness and sweetness of Christ. And then I find others who know something about the tenderness of Christ and know so little of his majesty and his righteousness. You know, it would be wonderful if every one of us could be balanced on this, to have a real conception of the character of God in his righteousness and his holiness and his sovereignty, but also to have a wonderful, wonderful knowledge and experience of his heart, of love, of compassion. You remember Romans 5:8, we read, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet active in our sins, Christ died for us. So as I'm going through these pictures of the compassion and tenderness and loveliness of Christ, I sincerely hope that something will get into your heart. I've just chosen these different ones. Like last lesson, I spoke to you about the woman who was in the Pharisee's house, and the one who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8 and brought before the Savior. How the Lord dealt with these two women, repentant sinners. And I repeat it again, wherever Jesus Christ is, the repentant sinner has full access. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? You and I can come at any time, under any circumstance, into the presence of God, the Almighty Sovereign God, and know he's my Father and your Father, our Savior, our Lover. And his heart is always open. And he's still the friend of publicans and sinners, especially repentant men and women. Oh, how he loves people. How he loves people. You say he doesn't love me. How do you know he doesn't? Maybe my friend, the Father, is not Godward, but you, toward you. And let me give you this little story. In the book of John, chapter 4, we have the story of a Samaritan woman. Now, let me suggest, for example, first of all, that the Samaritans, they lived in Samaria between Judea and Galilee. And when a Jew wanted to leave Jerusalem, for example, to go up into Galilee, the shortest route would have been through Samaria. But no, they hated the Samaritans so much, they would go down across the River Jordan, up the Jordan Valley, up to Galilee. Now keep that in mind, because when we start the story in John chapter 4, we have this, reading verse 3 of chapter 4. And Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. He cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat on the well. It was about the sixth hour, be about noontide. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples were gone up to the village to get something to eat. The woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him. He would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you have that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus said to her, Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband. Come hither. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, You've well said, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're now living with is not your husband. In that you spoke the truth. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know when Messiah comes, who is called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. He'll answer all our questions. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came the disciples, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, What are you seeking? Why do you talk to her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They went out of the city and came unto him. I took the time to read that. You notice it says here, our Lord must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there is a sinful woman there needing a Savior. You know, in 1 Timothy 1:15, we read, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Or Luke chapter 19, verse 10, The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria because there's a sinful woman there in dire need of a Savior. And I want you to mark something else. There was a time when God sent His Son into the world. He must needs come into this world because of you and me. We were sinners. And He loves to save sinners like you and me. And the Lord Jesus left the glory and came down here to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that verse I quote so often, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, active in our sin, Christ died for us. Notice the tenderness, the compassion of Christ. He knows just like the Lord. He wants to talk to this sinful woman in the middle of the day. And you know, being a sinful woman, she had to come when there were no women there. The custom was for the women to come out early in the morning and get their water, and also late in the afternoon. But this woman is an outcast woman. She's not wanted by the other women. She's frowned upon. She has to come alone, wending her way out to the well alone. You can just see her. She's down. She's discouraged. She has no friends. She's a sinful woman. The women have no use for her. She comes at noon. And Jesus, knowing that she was coming to the well, got rid of all 12 men. I kind of like that. You know, when the Lord's going to open up the heart of a woman, He doesn't want Peter, James, and John, or Thomas, or anybody else listening in to what He has to say. In fact, He wouldn't do that. The Lord Jesus doesn't pull the cover off a woman's heart to reveal her sin with somebody else looking in. Oh, how tender the Lord is, how wonderful He is, how understanding He is. So He sends all 12 away into the town to get something to eat. He didn't send one or two to get some. He sent all 12, get rid of them. And along came this woman. And the amazing thing was, Jesus said to her, "Woman, give me a drink." This startled her. First thing, a Jew asking a Samaritan woman for a drink. Secondly, he was a rabbi. And rabbis don't talk to women. And a Samaritan woman at that. You see what Jesus did? He made the first move. He put himself under obligation to the woman. "Give me a drink." What an amazing thing. That the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, should say to a outcast Samaritan woman, "Give me a drink." Puts himself under obligation to her. This caught her. This startled her. By the way, isn't that what God did for you and me? He put himself under obligation to us. He came and bore our sins. He came to give us life to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. He came to those who were far off in order to bring them nigh unto God. "Woman, give me a drink." "You a Jew? Asking a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" He said, "Woman, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him. He'd give you living water." You see what he's doing? He wants to meet this woman's need. He doesn't want to drive her away. So he just makes her very, very curious. What does she want? She wants water. What does he talk about? Her sin? No. He talks about water. What did she need? Water. What did he talk about? Water. "Woman, if you only knew who was talking to you, you'd ask if him, he'd give you living water." She said, "Where do you have it? Where do you have it? The well is deep. You've got no pitcher to draw with. Where have you got this living water?" Jesus said, "Woman, listen. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. You've been coming out here every day. Always thirsty. Nothing this old world has can quench your thirst. If you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." "Sir, give me this water so I won't have to come out here again." "Go and call your husband." You see, he has her now. Oh, the wonderful way the Lord Jesus did it. Puts himself under obligation, creates an interest in her, and creates an interest in him. "Woman, if you only knew who was talking to you, you'd ask of him, he'd give you living water. Where have you got it?" "The well's deep. Where have you got it?" "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again." And I'll tell you, my friend, today my generation of people are running hither and yon, drinking of this water instead of the living water. People think if they get money, they've made it. No, you haven't. You can't buy joy. You can't buy peace. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy love. You hear me? If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. Supposing you did have millions of dollars. Supposing you were successful in business. That doesn't give you peace. That doesn't give you satisfaction. Doesn't give you real joy. You have passing happiness, possibly. What about peace? What about joy? What about love? Can't buy those things. "Woman, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. If you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So give me this water. Go and call your husband." Why bring that up? Why bring that up? "Well, listen, woman, you've already had 5 husbands. The fellow you've got now is not your husband. Go and mind your own business." Huh? That's what you and I might have said to him. "Go and mind your own business. Nothing, none of your business what I do, how I live." You see, Jesus tore the mask off. Here's a sinful woman, has had 5 husbands. The fellow she's living with is not her husband. And he says, "Go and call your husband. I haven't got any." "You've had 5. The fellow you got now is not your husband." And you said the truth. Why didn't she run away? Why didn't she run away? Nobody likes to have the thing taken off. Nobody likes to have our sins aired before others. Go and call your husband. Now you see why he didn't want the 12 disciples there. Not any one of the 12, not even John or James or Peter, got rid of the whole business. Why? He's going to lay this woman's heart bare. Go and call your husband. I haven't got any. You're right, Yvonne. Sir, you must be a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You Jews say we ought to worship in Jerusalem. And the answer of our Savior is, neither at Jerusalem nor in this mountain do we worship the Father. You see, the Lord in his tender compassion said, you're right, no secrets with him. And then she said, I'm confused. I don't know where to worship. Where can I worship, really worship God? You Jews say in Jerusalem. We say on this mountain. Who's right? Where can I worship God? Then you have the revelation of the Father. The revelation of the woman, now the revelation of the Father. Oh, friend, let me tell you this. No sinner with a heart laid bare stands in the presence of God and runs away. She didn't run away from the judge of the universe. She didn't run, though she's an outcast sinner. Why? Because she wants to be cleansed. She needs to know God. Now, in chapter 3 of John, the Lord talks to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He doesn't give to him the revelation of God. He gives to Nicodemus the revelation of himself. He's a sinner needing a Savior, must be born again. This woman doesn't need to be told that she's born wrong. What she needs is a revelation of God. That's what our present generation needs, is a true revelation of the Father. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Will you please mark it? Not to a religious leader, but to a sinful woman, comes the revelation of God. Places disappear before the God of all grace. Where can I worship God? In this church, that church, the other church, my friend, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking worshipers. Worshipers. Not servants. Worshipers. Oh, I thought God wants us to be his servants. He's got plenty of servants. He wants worshipers. And out of your worship comes your service. Out of your fellowship with the Lord comes your service. We serve because we love him. We don't serve to get something. We serve because we love him. And loving him, we love people. We love sinners. Isn't it wonderful that God takes you and me who profess the Savior, and he takes us and uses us? Take this sinful woman. Take this sinful woman. I read that she left Jesus, and she left her water pot behind and ran to the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You see, the Lord revealed himself to a sinful woman. The woman said, when Messiah comes, he'll tell us everything. When the Christ comes, we'll know what the score is. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. And she worshipped. My friend, notice, she immediately became a missionary. What? This sinful woman immediately became a missionary. She came into right relationship with God. She came into right relationship with the Savior. And I read she left her water pot, something a woman would never do. She left her water pot at the well, and she ran into the city and said to the men, come on, see a man who told me everything that I did. Is not this the Christ? She became a water pot full of living water. Didn't Jesus say, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask if him he'd give you living water? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. It shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. She became a pitcher full of living water. The same day she met the Savior, she witnessed. And later on, if I were to go down through the chapter to verse 41 and 42, you have they went out from the city, and a great many more believed on Jesus when they heard his word, and they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you have said, but because we've seen him ourselves. And they put their trust in the Savior, rejected by the Jewish people, accepted by these hated Samaritans. I'll tell you, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Samaritans or anybody else. I'll tell you, friend, we've got a Savior who is able to save clean through to the end. Do you know him? All the tenderness, the compassion of our Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to a hungry, sinful Samaritan woman. And when she left Jesus, she became full of living water and was a worshiper of the living God. I tell you, oh friend, what a Savior. Do you know him? Have you put your trust in him? Have you? Because he wants you, my friend, to be forgiven every sin. He wants you to have life everlasting. And he'll put into you, he'll make you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then you become a living testimony for the Lord of glory who came where we were. And I repeat it, this is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I tell you, he's a real Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a personal Savior. May God grant you'll know him today for his name's sake.